with 28 guys. Now my odds are just better.
You know, I'm so bad at math, you guys. Don't ask me.
Not an easy problem to have, but it's a fun one to have, going on date after date after date. I am the most uncoordinated, clumsy person. I think I had a pretty good picker.
Bring on the men!
Put up with me through the entire journey.
Don't you know?
Hello, Internet.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to week two.
Week two.
Week two of The Bachelorette. It is progressing.
It really is. You know, the good thing about this is that I have found that I hate Becca less than I thought I would.
Ah, see, I hate her more than I thought I would.
And now we are at an impasse.
And now also I hate you because of it.
Well, we knew this would come.
Well, at least we made it through 1 week.
Thank God.
Last week's episode was good. Here we are, 40 seconds into this one.
This whole 6 months of marriage just really flew by, didn't it?
Yeah. They always say the second episode of the podcast is the hardest, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hey, a real episode this week. Like last week. Wow, great.
I love a real episode because then we can really get into talking about the structure of the show. We get to talk about relationships a little bit more. We get to talk about, you know, men and women and dating and stuff.
I like it because they can make it pretty clear who we don't need to pay attention to.
That is true.
Like Nick with the nose. Who's that guy? He's still on the show. But like episode one, you're like, you know, everybody gets equal time getting out of the limo and everything. And tonight, the producers are just like, yeah, don't pay attention to this guy. He doesn't matter.
But then Nick took off his shirt during the tuxedo thing, and I was like, oh, you're a bit of an Adonis.
Well, they're all Adonises. Nobody has higher than like 3% body fat on this whole show.
What, are you jealous?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like, objectively.
Okay,
I wish I looked like that?
Yes. Oh, I was, sorry.
Whoa, you should agree.
Sorry.
You should not agree at all.
Honey, you look great.
It doesn't count now.
You're right.
You don't know.
I don't mean it.
It's too late.
I don't mean it.
let's jump into these things. We're going to start off
with the end of the road.
Didn't get to do it last week.
I know. We lost a bunch of people. Honorable mention goes back to Joe for the end of the road. I can because I recently...
End of the Joe.
End of the Joe.
No, you can't do that.
You started it, sir. Joe, I recently found on Instagram, which was a huge mistake. He's got 32,000 followers currently. I would love to know what grocery store it is that he owns so that I could go there and lay my body across the produce section and just
spill on aisle two.
Oh, it's me, girl. Joe has grown his hair out as well, which really gets me going. And come to find out, Joe's got dimples as well. So if you need any more of your Joe fix, just know that Facebook, Instagram, and social media have definitely taken care of it.
So the first guy we actually lost was...
I will mourn Joe forever.
Do you remember last week when I was like, there is a war on poverty? First guy we lost was Alex, the construction manager, exactly who I predicted would be gone this week. Poor Alex with his poor haircut.
Alex looked like he bought his suit at Sears. I feel bad for him. And then he got a discount on, like, tools.
Yeah, he got like a buy one, get one.
That he actually needed because he works as a construction manager.
Yeah, he's poor.
Oh, man. Alex really did look like, I think him and Tia would have gotten along.
No, Tia's way too hot for him. Do you remember how I ended the season with Tia? Tia was like on fire by the end.
I know.
When
she found out she was a doctor, you were like, oh,
she's so hot.
Yeah, we'll talk about Tia later.
She's way hotter than Becca. Tia later. Spoilers. Anyway, we lost Alex.
Not spoilers! The episode is over!
Alex didn't do anything but sit around and be poor with his dumb haircut.
And
now he's gone.
You know what? He does have a poor kid haircut.
I know.
Because it's like one of those...
You're going to be on TV, man.
Oh, God. It's
just
like,
leave some conditioner in there.
He did. I think he's one of those people whose hair is like really, really straight. And, you know, he probably had a really bad bowl cut when he was younger. And just, here we are. Next up, we lost Ricky. He seemed really nice. He seemed jovial.
I liked him a lot in the first
warm.
Episode.
Yeah, I did like him a lot. He did the salsa dancing with Becca early on. But again, not a lot of PT, which means, you know.
He gone.
He gone.
He didn't do anything. He was on a date. Dodgeball date, maybe?
Yeah, he was on the dodgeball date. But he didn't do anything. He did not do anything noticeable. He was overshadowed by our best friend, Leo.
Great. So that's it for Ricky.
Yeah, that's it for Ricky.
We also lost Trent, who... the guys were, like, standing up there, getting eliminated, getting roses out.
Who is that? Yeah. He was the guy with the hearse from last week. Again,
what probably... What are you saying?
A hearse?
Okay.
I said a hearse.
It sounds like you said a hearse.
Like Hearst Cat, like the like Hearst castle.
Yeah. So that's it for the end of the road.
Cool.
This will get more interesting when we actually know things about these people.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
So we're back in L.A. We're still at the mansion. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to have the real dates, you know. The producers are just hammering us, reminding us very hard. Becca is fun. And she is edgy.
She's fun. She's edgy. She's alternative. She's got tattoos. You know, and Ari broke her heart, and she really has to work really hard to get over
like,
it.
Chris Harrison addresses the guys like, listen, she knows what she wants. So when you see her, make the most of it. As though some guy was sitting around like, I'm about to see her. I might not make anything.
Or as though any other woman that would be in this situation also would know what she wants. Like... What are you talking about?
It's just this weird, like, pro-Becca propaganda. Like, she is fun. Remember how much fun she is. Like, if they say it enough, all of a sudden she'll have a personality tomorrow or something. I don't know.
Now, I like Becca more than you do, so...
I'm not saying I don't like her. I think as a person, she's probably great. As the person I'm watching on television for 2 hours a week, she's miserable. She is as entertaining as she is full-figured.
Better.
Neither of anything.
Better. So the date that we went on was a group date, and it was all focused on this sort of wedding obstacle course. And
wait, an athletic challenge?
It was. You know, usually on the early episodes of The Bachelorette, all of the challenges are related to athletic prowess,
especially with her.
Yes.
She has very clearly instructed them to get her jocular men.
She loves an athlete, if you will.
Like Clay Harbor.
An athlete. She loves an athlete.
They do this dumb obstacle course. They have to dress up. Okay, hold on. I'm going ahead of Taylor. She wants to talk about them getting dressed.
No.
Oh.
I want to talk about who they had host this chicken gig. And I am furious. Because if I have to see Rachel and Brian anywhere else... I am going to burn my own home to the ground.
So.
I'm going to do it. And nobody's going to stop me. Adam would help.
I have more to say about this, but I'll talk about it in the next date.
More to say about what? Honey, my anxiety is through the roof. You have to say something.
You'll figure it out later. First of all, they're doing all they can to get people who are not Becca on camera. That is wildly obvious.
Yes, and okay, let's talk about that. It seems awfully weird that on this season of The Bachelorette, we've spent a lot of time with people that are not The Bachelorette. I mean, Lil Jon was boring on this episode, for God's sakes, doing nothing but yelling.
Well, that's where I was going with this thing. Why the hell was Lil Jon on TV?
Again, not sure. Is he on, like, an ABC show? Is he on, like, The Four? Or is he on The Voice? Or is he on something else entitled with a The?
He's just not Becca, which is the only qualification to be on TV now.
So let's go back to Brian and Rachel. I just... Why are they shoving these two down our throat? Just because they're the most recent Bachelorette couple and that means that everything's okay? It's not okay. It only makes me feel like she should have picked Peter. We've been bamboozled. Hoodwinked.
When are you going to get over
not
Peter
never
or Joe?
I'm not going to get over
make
either.
Make up your mind. Like, I don't care if you want to just pick one.
No. No. I won't have it.
I won't ever get over Leslie Murphy.
Okay.
But
fine.
It's just the one. It doesn't change every season. It's pretty much always Leslie Murphy.
Well, I mean, I just met Peter. The least you could do was let me have him for a little bit.
You just met Joe.
Okay. So, basically, the date is all about these guys get dressed up in tuxedos. It's all very sexy. They think, oh, we're going to do some cool challenge in a tuxedo. And they did. They did an obstacle course where they went through a series of challenges that are related to marriages and or planning weddings. And then...
there's a twist, though. It's so dirty.
There's a twist. There's mud involved.
You get in these nice clothes, and then you get dirty. How crazy.
Right. So on this date was Lincoln, Jordan, David,
Clay,
Nick, Connor, Jean Blanc, and Chris. Chris, who we previously discussed looked like Danny Wood from New Kids on the Block, but now it has been confirmed that he is Chandler's old roommate, Eddie, before he moved in with Joey.
So all these guys, we see them most of the way naked early, which is fine. Like, she's just standing in there watching them change, which, again,
fine.
Like, they all have braggable bodies.
Yes.
You know, they're all buff.
This is good.
The actual obstacle course thing is very dumb. It's insanely dumb, but the thing that you realize...
Is how much you hate Rachel and Brian. No?
Is that everyone hates Lincoln.
What? D-R-A-M-A. Drama! Right there.
Ah, yes!
The obstacle course is like you have to drag a 25-pound ball on your leg.
Yep.
You gotta climb over this soapy wall.
There's ice bath involved. There's a cake. Yeah. There's some trudging happening.
Yeah. It's all very... tiring, but nothing is as exhausting as spending an entire day with Lincoln.
Yeah. You know, remember last week when I said that Lincoln was in my power rankings and he seemed like a nice young man?
Lincoln was my number one.
He was. And
what a mistake.
I take all of that back.
I was such an idiot.
Mm-hmm. He's awful.
He is the most extra extreme person there is.
Now... guys, I don't know if you heard about this, and a lot of people have brought it up to me. And Adam, I know that sometimes you are not as culturally current as the rest of the group, so I think I will bring it up to you.
I like to avoid spoilers, so that's my excuse.
Well, this is not a spoiler. Guys, come to find out, Lincoln is a weird pooper, and he tends to oddly poop at work, where he puts down toilet paper on the ground, poops on the ground, and then either disposes of said poop in some kind of way, or just leaves it and lets the janitorial staff take care of it. Not only was this mentioned on Reddit, it was picked up by Life and Style magazine, and then it was thirdly confirmed by a friend of mine who worked at the same company that he did and took pictures. The poop is huge, by the way.
Well, of course it is. So, like, that's terrible.
We will include the link in the description of the show. Don't worry about it. We found it for you.
So that's... what is there a worse, weirder thing for a person to do than to not be comfortable pooping on a toilet? To do it on the floor? Also, if you're leaving that for the janitorial staff, you should be murdered right away.
Yeah.
Those people should not have to handle that.
Well, you come to find out when you work places that people are... awful.
Yeah, especially Lincoln.
Yes.
Every time he talks, he's so over the top. He's like being with Becca. It's like riding a unicorn to the end of the rainbow where there's a pot of gold.
But then that's the other thing. Like, the show also does push these guys to use phrases like that.
He met her yesterday.
Girl, I know that, but I'm just telling you.
Every time I'm with you, it's like it's raining sunshine.
It's raining men. Hallelujah.
You're like, dude. You literally met her yesterday.
I mean...
every time you met her? That's two times.
Unicorns. Unicorns! So, we get to the point where Lincoln, it seems or appears that
he cheated.
Yes, he cheated, and so...
in his enthusiasm to be over the top first, he cheated.
And so, he ends up winning the competition, takes a picture with Becca, and then they go to the evening portion of the date. The guys are pretty pissed, namely Connor?
Yeah, Connor.
Yeah, I get Connor and Colton mixed up. I don't know why. One is the blonde version of the other one. One is, you know what I'm saying. So Lincoln has this picture of Becca, and he's touting it around in the evening to the guys.
He's being a lot with it.
Being extra, doing the most.
He waves it around like it's an Olympic gold medal. Like,
yes.
Something he spent his entire life earning. He's like, this is my wife, and he's kissing the picture, and it's... who does this?
Well, he didn't poop on the floor for nothing.
He's like a Disney villain in real life.
Okay.
He's just over the top evil all the time without break.
But the thing that is really weird about it and interesting to me about it is that he does seem genuine. You know, it's not like he's saying, you know, he's saying these things and then like going back to his in the moment interviews and talking to the camera and saying things like, I know that this is bothering the other guys, so I'm just really going to egg it on. Like he's not saying any of that. So the idea of him being a quote unquote Disney villain doesn't necessarily apply for me just because it seems like his feelings are genuine. He just doesn't realize that he's rubbing people the wrong way.
I don't think he's trying to rub people the wrong way. I think he's just terrible.
Mm, cool.
I think he's just tone deaf to the effect that he's having on other people, which is even worse.
And it is definitely related to the poop. So we get to the point where the guys are pretty much fed up. Connor? I'm going to keep saying his name with an upward inflection.
It's still Connor.
Because I feel like every time I say Connor, I want to say Colton. And I know it's wrong.
No, they're wildly different people. Colton is like going to be in the show for a while. Connor's just this generic like banker kind of white guy.
But you can't tell me that they don't look the same.
They have the same first two letters at the beginning. They don't look the same at all.
I don't know. A lot of white people look the same to me.
Oh, you can't say that on TV.
Well, I did.
Oh, good thing we're not on TV.
So, Colton? Connor.
Are you trying to do this?
I'm having a stroke. So, Connor takes Lincoln's photo and throws
Colton's
it.
Not even on this date.
I know. That's why I'm having a problem with this. He takes Lincoln's photo, throws it out of the window. It is a wildly aggressive move for something that is really not that serious. And, you know, it is truly, let us not forget, the behavior of a 25-year-old kid.
It's the classic first incident of the year where you look at these two guys who are opposing each other and you go, you know what? You're both wrong.
You're both wrong.
And they are.
Yeah, you totally are. And so Becca, pretty annoyed about that. You know, she asked an interesting question, which I thought was something that made me kind of, you know, point up on Becca for this week, if you will. She didn't say anything specifically about, like, Lincoln or, you know, what, you know, had caused him, Connor, to do this. She asked him, have you ever behaved like this before? Do you have a history of this kind of aggressive behavior?
It sounds like a shrink question.
It is a shrink question, but it is a question that you ask when you don't really know somebody to see how they answer it. Because if you are trying to be in a serious long-term relationship with somebody, you want to know if you're going to have to deal with some goon having insane outbursts whenever he gets annoyed by something. And this is something very small to be annoyed by, and he should not have handled it that way.
I think this question is one of those that you just can't answer well. She asked him this to make him feel bad about himself.
Which was warranted.
Sure, but there's no way to answer that question well. You don't ask it because you're probing for information. You ask it because you're accusing him of being ridiculous right now.
But he was being ridiculous.
Well, no, I'm not saying he's not. He is, but there's no good way to answer that question.
That's true. So it was a trap. Yay. So let's talk about somebody we really enjoyed today.
Oh, look who's finally on board.
I was always on board. He smells good. We're talking about Jean Blanc, guys.
He had a good conversation. He got the rose. I mean,
That's pretty much it.
They're getting along real well right now, and they just stayed out of all the drama, which is the important thing.
And again, the difference between the level of conversation and the reaction of somebody who's a 25-year-old kid like Connor and a 31-year-old man financier like Jean Blanc is wildly different. And that's what she is rewarding right now.
Yeah, I mean, these guys don't understand. This is the same thing every season.
I know.
You win the game the first few weeks by staying out of the news.
Out of the news.
There's, like, 21 we started with, and we only got rid of three. Those three guys did something that messed them up in some way. She didn't, you know, she's still promoting guys she doesn't know yet.
That is true.
Both of the guys she didn't go on dates with got through. You know why? Because they didn't do anything.
Right.
Because they blended into the background. That's how you win early.
Stay in the fray, guys. So up next is our one-on-one date.
Speaking of bland and forgettable,
well,
let's go to the one-on-one date with Blake.
And I'd like
to call
this...
We disagree on this, I'm sure.
I like to call this the trashing the camp date. I was recently watching Tarzan this weekend on Freeform because, you know, they go hard on the weekends.
So this is a weird date. It's a weird date because they need to just give up on this Ari thing.
It's a weird date because Lil Jon is on the date.
Lil Jon's on the date. So they show up the two of them, Blake and Becca, show up at this like random warehouse in LA, and Chris Harrison's outside dressed up but holding a sledgehammer. And he's like, "We, to give you like closure on this whole Ari thing, we set up a whole warehouse full of Ari related stuff, and you're gonna go in there and just hit it all with hammers."
I mean, it sounds like a fun date in, you know, in hindsight. It also Does sounds it? Like something that would really make my arms hurt.
If some guy showed up for his first date with you and he's like, "Yeah, we're going to go to a warehouse where I got a bunch of TVs set up and we're going to smash them with sledgehammers," would you be like, "That's a cool date," or would you be like, "See ya"?
I'd say that's a cool date, but I mean, what's the content on the TV?
That's weird. That's an expensive date.
No, it's a cool date.
Agree to disagree. It looks like an OK Go video.
Again, cool date.
I guess we're just going to differ on this. Little John's going to be there. Why was Little John
you
there?
You continue to say things that I want to do. What is so the problem?
They're just running around smashing stuff with hammers, and Little John's just going, "Yeah!" in the background.
Well, you know, let us not forget that Little John did speak in his normal speaking voice at the beginning of this date, which is super weird for me. It's almost like hearing David Beckham speak for the first time.
Yeah, like there's a human person under there.
Yeah.
And not this caricature artist.
Yeah, exactly. My other thing that I want to mention, Blake is a very large person. Did you notice that?
No.
He seems big. He seems like Paul Bunyan-y to me.
I mean, they're all big.
Yeah, but he seems like...
Little guys are like, they don't cast you if you're like small or not muscular.
And then especially standing next to her, everybody's huge.
Oh, I think she's probably under like 80 pounds right now.
She's so thin. So later on in the evening, they had dinner, they talked about stuff. Basically, Blake was in a relationship where he said, "I love you." And the girl,
after
2 months.
That's setting yourself up for some failure.
Come on. And the girl, like, basically broke up with him 2 days later. He's had his heart broken. Becca has her heart broken. Oh, my God. Everybody's heart is broken. Now I really know what I want. Blah, blah, blah. He gets the rose. Next.
He's a super plain, generic guy.
He is.
So here's a fun bit of story information about my whole life.
Oh.
I just returned from a bachelor party in Branson, Missouri.
Cool.
Here's something that I have started to do with my friends on bachelor parties. When we have leftover food, particularly bread that we have bought for like sandwiches, and we're leaving, we roll it up into a bread ball and we eat it like it's some sort of delicacy.
Men are so weird. Like, you guys.
Well, like, it's boring to be like, "I'm going to eat this plain slice of bread." So instead, we roll it up into something that's a lot more fun.
Have you guys washed your hands before you did this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're
okay.
Clean guys.
Okay, okay.
This is what Blake is. Blake is a bread ball of a person. There is nothing interesting about him. He can't talk. He's not super conversational. I'm sure he's nice, but he's boring as f***, just like she is.
Mm.
So to make them interesting, this show just bread balls them up and forces them down our mouth.
That sounds about right.
And that's what this date was. It was a bread ball. And I think we're going to get a lot more of these.
Especially with him. Because he's going to be on the show for a while.
I think with her and a lot of these guys, they're just boring. You can't take them on their own, so you got to dress them up.
So next up was our dodgeball group date. And this featured Leo, Wills, Hot John, Colton, Garrett, Trent, Kriston, who they call
Chris now, which is terrible. Now we have two guys with the same name.
I don't like that. Alex, Ricky, and Ryan. So this basically was another activity date. Show me your athleticism.
A sport date, huh?
So show me how fun you are and show me that you can not take yourself so seriously. Come to find out, Leo is awesome.
And also, Fred Willard is here.
And remember,
why is Fred Willard here?
Guys, if you remember, most recently, Fred Willard was arrested for masturbating in a movie theater.
Yeah. Why is he on this date?
Well, why was
he just like trolling around the parking lot and they're like, "Hey, come be on TV. You're more interesting than our bachelorette."
I mean, why was Roseanne on ABC? I don't know. So I think it has something to do with Fred Willard also being in dodgeball. Maybe.
I guess he was.
Was he the announcer in Dodgeball?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe that's it.
Again, he probably should not be doing this in the era of Time's Up and Me Too. Not great. Really not great.
Yeah, so they show up at this, like, school gym to, like, train, and there are these three little kids dressed up in like cute little headbands and stuff, and then they just yell at the guys for a while. It's a strange way to do dodgeball.
They're very spunky children. And they really did not give one entire about who these guys were. And you know what? Leo was here for it. I love Leo. Do you have anything else to say about him?
Leo is hilarious.
He is so funny.
The hair is kind of gross still for me.
Yeah, well.
But he's hilarious.
I literally wrote, Leo is actually amazing. Fan favorite. Like, come on.
I think it would be, at this point, if you're watching the show and you're not enjoying every minute Leo's on TV,
you're not watching it right. Yeah, you're doing it wrong for
Leo
sure.
Leo is, he's just shooting up, like, the watchability rankings of all these guys.
Totally. So the date went well. You know, of course they split them up into a pink team and a green team. And the green team wins with a valiant effort by Leo, of course.
Leo's team loses, but he plays really well, which is surprising.
I don't think so. He's a stuntman. He's athletic.
He's super coordinated and, like, difficult to hit with a dodgeball.
Totally.
But some of these guys are, like, baseball players, and, like, you think they'd be better.
Hey, man. You don't know what you don't know.
I guess when everyone's an athlete, no one's an athlete, you know?
Oh, my God. Did you just blow my mind?
It's a philosophy minor.
Shut up. So we get to the evening portion of the date. So it's a little too early for the competitiveness. Like, oh, my God, one team wins. So that means the other guys have to go home.
Or maybe we just gave up on that premise because it never plays out that way.
Yeah, it doesn't. The drama is really weak. So basically, Becca is having a pretty good time. She's getting to know some people. She's having a great time with Kristen and, you know, Hot John and what have you. Come to find out, Colton has a secret.
So we all kind of know that Colton has been hiding a secret, but they've been giving it to us like it's some other secret.
Correct. So now we have been spreading the rumor that Colton is a virgin. Do I think he is?
That's what they told us.
That is what they told us.
It would be hard to believe.
Correct. We also already know that Colton previously dated Allie Raceman, legend Queen Bee, as we know.
Ooh.
But
you just shiver real quick.
I know. Oof.
Out of attraction.
You got the goosebumps. So Colton also spent the weekend with Tia.
Oh, weekend. Not like this weekend.
Right. Not like a current weekend. Not like, you know, this weekend. Not like the recent Memorial Day weekend.
Colton's secret is that he had a weekend rendezvous with Tia, who, mind you, is way hotter than you thought at the beginning of the season.
Correct.
She's a gem.
So Tia, as we know, was in the final four of Ari's season, very close with Becca. They are good friends. They spend a lot of time together. So it's pretty weird that all of this is happening.
Here's what's weird. What's weird is that how Becca wanted to react was, oh, I don't care. Like, I was with somebody from that season, too.
And she wanted to be very cool girl about
it. She wanted to be like, yeah, whatever. But instead, they were like, no, try to sound conflicted about this. And so then she just rambles for a while about why she's all broken up about it and doesn't actually say anything.
I think she actually was upset about this because she really had a strong connection to Colton. I mean, let's not get it twisted. He's hot. He's tall. He's, you know, he's tan. He's got this blonde curly hair. He dated Allie Raceman. Like, he's a philanthropist, millionaire. You know, he's basically Sam Fox. And so now come to find out that he hooked up with one of her really good friends, I would be pretty annoyed by that.
But he didn't know. Like, everybody has a past that you have to forgive on these kind of shows.
Yeah, but then at the same time, you know, when he's being cast on the show, you can't act like he didn't tell the producers that. Like, the producers knew.
He probably did, but it's not like a personal, like, penalty. It just shows you how small these, like, famous people circles are.
Yeah, and I mean, now, did he give this much attention to telling Becca that he used to date Allie Raceman? We don't know.
You don't know.
That was not on the show. Because you can't tell me that he didn't tell her that, too.
I don't know. I mean, Colton, like all of these guys, is not here for Becca. Becca is a bad prize. Being the next Bachelor is the actual prize. Or just being famous on Instagram is the actual prize. He is not here to be with Becca. Nobody is because she's so thin and disgustingly
boring.
But I
mean, with Colton's dating history, it seems like, you know, he already has some sort of mild Instagram fame. Obviously, he doesn't have the Instagram fame of Joe the grocer, but he's working on it. But the other thing is that, you know, for Bachelor Nation, and maybe the producers, if they're thinking about this correctly, they wouldn't want Colton to be on the show because of his dating history. It is a hindrance for him to be on the show based on the people that he's dated. They want somebody with a clean slate.
Would he be different than, what's his name? The athlete who is the Bachelor, the quarterback who is the Bachelor.
Jesse Palmer. Jesse Palmer didn't date anybody before any of this. And plus, this was pre, like, very much social media engagement on the show. And, you know, Jesse Palmer was still kind of a nobody.
What I'm trying to say is that I don't think Colton is actually here because Becca is something special to him. I mean, none of these guys are. They're cast before they know who it's going to be. So, yeah, I'd buy that somebody who's like a J-list celebrity, like a 3 or 4 year NFL player, would like have a weekend with another J-list celebrity. Somebody who made it pretty far on The Bachelor, but yeah, which was going to disappear otherwise.
Yeah, maybe they were at the same party or the same like benefit or whatever, like, you know, charity event, and you get to make it out. People go to Vegas all the time and get bottle service. That's pretty much it.
What is the problem from Becca's perspective? What is she torn up about here?
It's her friend. It's the fact that she likes him, and the fact that he had a relationship with a good friend of hers. And then, remember, she was pretty upset about this other guy who was kind of in her social circle, who, you know, never sort of mentioned that they had any sort of liking to one another. Though Becca did not mention that was an issue for her, I'm sure that is also on the table as well. I mean, I like the closeness of Becca and Tia is probably the closeness of, you know, you and, you know, one of your first coworkers from any job that you've ever had, and you have a really long-standing relationship. You guys have both been through something together, and then now you like this guy that your friend hooked up with. Like, that's a weird thing.
But, like, she knew Tia for maybe 2 months total.
Sure.
So they're not actually close.
Well,
and also,
when you go through that kind of experience, I would argue that they are very close.
I think they play it up when they're on TV because The Bachelor, the franchise, needs to make it look like these people are all best friends. They're not actually best friends. They're all, like, suckling from the same money teat. They're not actually friends. They're employees.
I think that's a hard piece of information to get from somebody that you really, really like.
But even if it happens before you ever met them?
Yes.
That's the part I don't get.
I know.
Anyway.
You're a man.
Well, yeah.
So, after all this back and forth, come to find out, Becca really still has a strong connection with Wills, which, as we know, he had a really great showing in the trailer for this season, so I'm excited about him getting this date, Rose.
Yeah, so both of these group dates sort of have the same kind of, like, pattern, where something happens, and there's drama.
Drama.
And there's the discussions and whatever and all this stuff. And at the end, she just picks, like, the guy who just sort of quietly played his little role, sat behind, and then just swooped in at the end and was like, guess what? We're still compatible. And she's like, oh, yeah, we are.
And she goes, like, here's full 180 on the guy that she ends up picking. Like, she doesn't end up picking anybody that, you know, is sort of loud and boisterous and just like you said, like, in your face or anything like that. She picks the quiet, confident gentleman, you know, somebody who is astute, speaks their mind, and also, you know, is very invested in her and her experience, which is exactly what you should do when you're picking a partner, which makes her a quote-unquote boring bachelorette.
She's sane. Definitely a boring bachelorette.
She's sane.
Oh, I think she is. She's sane, she's anorexic, and she's boring on TV.
Cool. I love it.
The only things you can say about her.
I love it. So we get to the rose ceremony.
Let's go to the rose ceremony.
Yeah,
right?
Let's go to the rose ceremony. Basically, the biggest thing that happened here is that
Jordan-David standoff.
Yeah, the Jordan-David standoff is basically, bold prediction, guys, is basically setting the foundation for a ominous two-on-one date much later in the season that is obviously going to allow us the benefit of losing Jordan, which will be great.
So here's what happens. So everyone's dressed up. They're at the mansion, right? And Jordan's like, you know what I can do to impress her is wear no clothes. I'll just walk around in my underpants. He's a male model.
Cool.
Like, but first of all, they all look like that.
Yeah, so I mean, there's no reason.
No any one of them physically is more impressive than the rest. They're all equally, like, cut up.
Correct. And can I just say, thank God for David getting out of the chicken suit, because he's kind of really hot.
I don't know about really hot.
He's cute.
He's cute. He's cuter than he is hot.
He's real cute, for sure.
So Jordan just walks in his underpants, and he just approaches Becca while she's talking to David, and he's like, listen, I gotta take this conversation over, because I'm naked, so let's talk. And he thinks it's this, like, grandiose move of superiority or something. And then they fight about it.
Does he think he's trying to be funny?
I honestly don't know what he's doing. I think he's proving his, like, alpha status.
Yeah.
Which is usually something you do without saying that
it's
you're doing
not, it. It's not working for me, fam. It just really is not something that I'm into.
Yeah.
So the only other cool things that happened at the Rose Ceremony, Hot John got a kiss tonight. Did you see that?
Way to go, Hot John.
Way to go, Hot
Big
John.
Big supporters of Hot John.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, later on in the evening, Becca was still struggling with the revelation that Colton had a weekend rendezvous with Tia. You know, she was going back and forth about, you know, basically I really liked you and I'm worried that our relationship is now different because of this. Should I send you home? Blah, blah, blah. Come to find out, she didn't send him home. Obviously not, because she's still into him. So we're going to be dealing with that all season. Fun.
Maybe. I don't know.
We will.
All right. I mean, that's really it. It's just Jordan and David yelling at each other. It's just David going, dude, you're disrespectful. And then Jordan being like, sure. And then Jordan being like, I'm not disrespectful. I'm awesome. Can't you see it?
You are not awesome, sir.
And that's it. The conversation just goes back and forth with them saying different versions of that for, like, I would guess a long time.
Quite
in
some
real
time.
And on our TV, it was, what, 2 minutes or so? It was way too long. But
yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna be early rivals.
Early rivals, great.
I like David a lot more than Jordan, but I don't really want either one of them to go super far.
I think we all like David more than Jordan, definitely.
Yeah. So that's it. Then we go to the rose ceremony, and everything happens exactly as you expected. We lose three guys that nobody really cared about to begin with, and that's where we are.
That's where we are.
Let's go to power rankings.
Let's go to power rankings. I have an honorable mention this week.
Wow.
It's not Joe, but it gave me
If it was Joe, I would turn this car around.
No. No,
okay.
You won't.
Okay.
You won't do it.
No. Keep going.
You don't know. Honorable mention goes to David. Again, seeing him out of the chicken suit really takes it up a notch for me. He is much cuter than I thought he was going to be, much saner than I thought he was going to be, and a little bit... has a bit of a dopey charm to him that I like.
I think even if you're right, and I think he's right, I think you have to be smart and know when to pick your battles.
You really do.
And he didn't do that.
No.
That is a dumb thing to do, and I'm going to penalize him for that.
Now, unless the producers are basically just showing us all of the altercations that they had among the hours of footage that they are combing through, and they're only focusing really on these two moments between Jordan and David, remains to be seen. But I honestly don't think he's spending as much time on it as we are seeing on television.
Who is your real number four?
My real number four is Jean Blanc. Great episode, sleeper hit. Love that he came out of nowhere and was very cool, calm, and collected about the whole thing. Becca loves black guys, and that is fine with me.
Yeah, JB, he's not on the show much, but when he is, he's dynamite,
he
right?
He sure is. And he looks great. Like got a great fit. He's, you know, buff. He's killing it. He's, you know, milk chocolatey and delicious. I mean, it's good for me.
My number four is Leo.
Okay, girl, yes! Tell about it.
I'm not attracted to Leo like I would be attracted to the other three guys in this list, but I want to see him on TV.
I do too.
And that's what it comes down to.
I would be curious to see if he has any real shot at Bachelor in Paradise just because of his personality.
I don't think so.
Okay. You don't think anybody would be, like, mildly attracted to Leo?
I don't think the type of women who are on The Bachelor would be attracted to the type of guy that Leo is.
Well, I mean, we didn't think Daniel from Canada would be attractive to anybody. And oh wait, he wasn't that season.
Yeah, he wasn't at all.
Sorry. My number three is Colton. He really blew it this week with the whole Tia thing. Of course, it is good that he told Becca right off the bat, because if he had held on to it, she would have really been pissed. But
I don't think it's that big of a mistake.
Which is why I have him at three.
He made it before he met her, and he told her about it the first time he could. That's the right way to do things.
That's true, but I mean, she was still Becca at the time that he might have hooked up with her. I don't know what the timeline is. I would love to know more about it, but you know, again, that's why I have him at three and not at four, or not on the list at all, because it's going to hurt him, but I don't think it's going to hurt him in the long run.
My number three is the cute little banjoist Ryan still.
Oh my God, Ryan! He like got no PT this week.
He hasn't done anything.
He hasn't.
I just think he's a cute little guy. And you gotta have somebody who's like not, you know, the person who wins this is not on TV the most in the first couple of episodes.
That is true.
They always sneak up on you.
That is true.
Plus, I'm just into the cute little guy. I'm always doing it. So,
I know, you do love a cute guy.
That's what he does for me.
Is Ryan your pretty boy, Drew?
No, Pretty Boy Drew was way more attractive.
One of the all-timers for you.
Yeah.
Who's your number two?
My number two is Colton, for the reasons you just talked about. He's great.
He is great.
That's it. Who's yours?
My number two is Wills.
Wills is only going to get stronger.
Oh, totally. Now, the thing that annoys me a little bit about Wills is that, you know, his conversation is not as fluid as Jean Blanc's conversation, or even Colton's conversation, or Blake's conversation, because Blake definitely speaks in broken sentences. But I wish, you know, Wills had a little bit more get up and go in his speech pattern. But I think that is going to be something that he's going to get more comfortable with, or maybe it's just a camera thing. He definitely is well-dressed. I love a silk bomber jacket. Hello. And he's killing it.
I liked Wills.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into Wills.
Okay.
I think if I had to pick a short list of people who are winning for her right now,
mm-hmm.
I might put him number one.
So, wait. So, Adam, when you do your power rankings this year, are you doing your power rankings based on what you like or based on what Becca
likes? No, based on what I like. I do it. I don't do it ever any other way.
All right.
My number one is JB, for things we've already talked about.
Okay, my number one has not been mentioned, and it is Blake. She loves a boring gentleman.
A bread ball.
She loves a bread ball, and he is a big ball of Wonder Bread. Not even the thick, like, Texas toast Wonder
just
Bread.
Just one slice of sandwich bread rolled up and smashed into a bread ball. That's what he is.
Bleached.
I think she kind of likes him.
Bleached,
but it doesn't flour. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes sense. You know it does.
No.
Yeah.
I guess.
So, bold predictions for next week. Obviously, we already know that tensions are building and rising between David and Jordan. The big question next week, obviously, is who's going to bleed their own blood? It looks like Blake to me. Also, would love to talk about the fact that this happened in the middle of the night, and that
So I thought
somebody
it was
sleeping in the boxes.
I thought it was a guy with lighter hair.
Oh, I couldn't tell with the neck brace on.
I don't know. Not as light as like Nick.
No,
but lighter than who did you say? Alex? No, Alex is gone.
Alex is gone.
Who did you say?
Blake. I don't know. But the other thing that I want to mention is that I think probably what happened, if somebody is in their boxers, it doesn't seem like there would be something that would have occurred that would be foul play, if you will. I think probably what happened is one of those guys like rolled out of his bunk bed and like crashed to the floor.
That is exactly what I was going to say.
That's the only option.
Somebody is sleeping and either runs into the wall or rolls off the side of the bed.
And just crashes on the floor.
That's what happens.
Like, I mean,
because they're not going to be confronting each other in their boxers.
No, exactly. And it seems really weird. Like, and then the way that they mention it, lying in a pool of their own blood, like, what other option would there be? Like, somebody fell down the stairs, like, the lights were out, and like, you know, you're disoriented, you don't know.
You don't know.
You've been drinking all day, like, and you fell down the stairs in your boxes and your underpants. This just happens, you know? So that's probably what I think occurred, it's probably not as dramatic as
what if it's like an allergic reaction. We didn't know there was shellfish in this pasta.
What? We've had nuts in this house the whole time? Yeah.
It's not like somebody gets roided up and punches the guy in the face.
It is definitely not that. Like, they pretty much have nipped all that stuff in the bud lately, especially because so much of what happens on this show is a direct correlation to your own social media sort of following, that nobody would do anything completely insane anymore while they're on the show in an effort to tarnish their own image. Like, that's my theory. So, like, the drunkenness stuff can pretty much be nipped in the bud because of all the stuff between Corinne and DeMario and the fact that, you know, nobody wants to be known as I was the drunk guy on episode 2 on The Bachelor now on Instagram forever. Unless you're Waboom.
If you throw a punch at a guy, you're done being on the show.
You're out.
It's an instant loss.
You're out.
So you don't do it.
Yeah.
If you're allergic to peanuts and you don't know about it and you run into some peanuts and makes you puss up and bleed all over, that'll get you on TV.
Do you think that's what happens when you're allergic to peanuts? Do you puss up and bleed?
No, but I'm just trying to come up with some sort of, like, innocuous, harmless way that a person could be bleeding and, like, it's got to be that.
Somebody probably, like, fell in the pool or something like that. It's
nothing malicious.
It is not. Ball prediction. It's a TV show. So, we say all that to say, thanks for joining us this week, you guys. If you haven't read it, I'm sure as we continue on this series, Amy Kaufman's book about Bachelor Nation is absolutely fantastic. We will reference it a number of times during the podcast. And the whole bunk bed thing in our bold prediction is part of that book. How everybody is living together in these close quarters, how they travel, that kind of thing. There is no way that there was any sort of foul or malicious play intended there. So I say all that to say, have a great week and we'll see you later.
It's 2018.
The ring will be revealed with the man. I have no idea what was going on, but I was living for it.
You had some accidents.
Leave. I don't want you here. Get out.
Please get back in the limo.
Oh, you'll have so much fun, don't you know?